Good evening. I love the simplicity of the Lord's word to his people, and I'm thankful for it. He's going to gather his people. You won't be overcome by the rivers, but guess what? You're going to walk through some rivers. The fire ain't going to burn you, but you're going to be surrounded by fire. That's what's going to happen. Why? For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Because he's the Lord. If somebody don't think it all that way, take it up with him. It's his doing. That's right, isn't it? Well, let's turn to John chapter 7. And as a reminder, Lord willing, Saturday we'll have a cookout at our house. If y'all need the address, I haven't been there, let me know. 2:00. And so we ought to have plenty. I knew Kimberly would have plenty of food, and she's going to have plenty of fancy food and lots of it. So, be good for us. John chapter 7. As many of you know, yesterday was a shooting in a school in Texas. And that was a heinous crime. That was a barbaric event, a painful event. Terrifying. It induces terror in those around it that survived, and those families, and those children there, and the teachers there, and those in that area, throughout that state, and throughout this country, and throughout the world. Change has taken place in our county because of that. When I think of the man that did this, that willfully did this, God took his hand off him, a child of Adam, no different than any other child of Adam, for a brief moment. Killed 19 young children and 2 adults so far. That's what's died from it. It's easy for us to cast judgment if we don't know the Lord. It's easy for us to misquote scriptures if he doesn't teach us what his scriptures mean. John Bradford, back in the middle of the 1600s, said, "But for the grace of God, there goes John Bradford." And we judge this barbaric heathen that God took his hand off of. God allowed this evil to happen to save his people. Do I say, do I look, stick my nose up in the air? Or do I say, but for the grace of God? Has he taught me that? There goes Kevin Bradford. I go in that hearse. I'm certain. I don't watch much TV, but I'm certain this will be quoted at some point in an attempt to soothe someone's conscience, to soothe someone's aching heart. The words of Job, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away." There's no comfort in that. Do you hear me? I hope I get your attention by me saying that. There's no comfort in that. When you stop there, there's no comfort in it. That's just a sovereign God, a stoic God. We just might as well, it's fatalistic, throw the lot up in the air and we'll just do whatever happens. Ain't nothing we can do. Might as well sit down, do nothing. Oh, but there's a semicolon there. That sentence goes on. Here's the comfort. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To those parents that lost children, if God would enable me, I have one message for them. Who the Lord is. And we ought to praise him. And if the Lord would give them a new heart, that's what they would do. To that man, if he was still alive, that committed this crime, what message could I have for him? This is the Lord. This is who he is. Bless his name. Praise his name. And if there's a new heart put in that man, the same as there was with me, the same as there was with you, if he's done a work in you, that new heart will say, amen. Blessed be his name. Not my name, not somebody else's name, not the senator's, governor's name, or what somebody's nonsense that I hate God come up with. Blessed be his name, the Lord's name. This Lord we're going to look at. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. People talk about a God, and they talk about some dude named Jesus. My pastor said, you can't put on a pair of tennis shoes and go downtown and tell them about some dude named Jesus. This is the Lord. This is God Almighty. People handle this word deceitfully to soothe themselves. This Lord, this one we're going to look at tonight, he preached in the temple. He came to this earth. He got up. Oh, if he could be here, I'd sit down. Oh, if he was there. That'll be eternity. We'll get to hear him preach. What a thought. Hug him after. The Lord preached here in the temple during this feast. In verse 15, it says, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How can he read? And Jesus answered, then my doctrine is not mine. I didn't get this from it's not from your seminaries, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? That's what you like. You like rules. Didn't he give you the law? What did the law say? Thou shalt not kill. Didn't Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. What do you mean I didn't keep the law? Why go ye about to kill me? You broke the law. You want to kill me. And the people answered, thou hast a devil. You're paranoid. You're crazy. Something's possessed you. Who goeth about to kill thee? They did. That's what we looked at last time. They did. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. You want to kill me. The Lord didn't kill. He healed. He healed that impotent man. Man had been lame for 38 years. He healed him. And they want to kill him. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is Moses, but of the Father. The Father gave it through Moses. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me? Are you mad at me? Because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day. Is that what you're mad about? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Judge righteous judgment. Do not judge as to what appearances give. Don't go off your instincts. You don't have any. They're corrupt. That's your nature. That's your will. It ain't no good. Quit going off what you think. Don't go off what your feelings are. Don't judge a situation because of what you feel. Judge righteously. Judge according to the Word of God. Judge everything against Him. In light of Him. Judge righteously. And what did we look at last time? What was that world in? David had three choices. He numbered Israel. The Lord was angry with him. And so he sent his prophet Gad to him. And Gad said, David, the Lord spoke to me. You got three choices. And he laid them out. Which one do you want? I got to go back and tell the Lord. And David said, I'm going to go straight. Let's cast our all on the mercies of the Lord. And then the Lord chose for David. That's wise, isn't it? We can go read that sometime, Samuel 24. And in doing so, in the knowing, I ain't got no business judging. I ain't got no business making up my mind. No, Lord, not my will, but your will. Even in that, mercy, the Lord killed 70,000 men. Didn't he give nations for you? I've given men for you. That's what our brother just read. Killed a whole bunch of people. Why did evil take place in that city? So the Lord could save his people. We consider it evil. What we meant for evil, what that man is meant for evil, the Lord meant for good, for the saving of his people. I don't understand that. Well, don't cast on it. Hush and bow. That's a good thing to do. Praise God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As Job. Now the rubber meets the road. That's putting you, people want practical theology. There you go. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, I don't want to. Well, do something. Do something good. Praise his name. Love you, brethren. Have a tender heart to those that persecute you, that try to kill you, your enemies. Love them as Christ loved us. Verse 25, what did these people do? The Lord said, judge righteous judgment. Gave them that command. What did they do? Verse 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Ain't this that guy they want to kill? Ain't that who this is? But lo, he speaketh boldly. And they say nothing to him. If somebody's wanting to kill somebody, and that person that they're trying to kill comes up and speaks so boldly, And they didn't do nothing. Is that him or is that not him? You know what they're doing? They're judging. They're sorting things out in their own logic is what they're doing. They're weighing the matter. The Lord said, judge righteous. I ain't righteous. Lord, you are. Praise his name. No. Oh, well, he told us to judge. I'm going to judge, buddy. You better watch out. Hold my Bible. I'm going to start sorting things out. And they said nothing to him. Verse 26, do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Are they aware that this is the Christ? Is that their opinion? What's our opinion? What's our judgment? Verse 27, howbeit, we know this man, since he is. They know this man. We know who his daddy is. That's Joseph the carpenter. We'll sit here before too long. We know his mommy. We know his brothers and sisters. I've got two tables and an end table and a chair and a dining room set made by him. His brother made the mantle over the fireplace. We know this. We know where he's from. But, now they're going to compare what they see with Scripture. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. He's for the order of Melchizedek. He won't have a mother. He won't have a father. He won't have a beginning. He won't have an end. This Christ that's to come, we know that. And we know this guy, where he's from, and they think he's, you see all this decision-making, the mind's on a dangerous journey of sorting things out instead of bowing to God. First problem was it's talking in church. 28, then cried Jesus in the temple as he talked. Was he teaching? It says as he talked. Whenever they talked, he talked louder. I just saw it earlier. I looked seriously. I hadn't seen it. He was teaching. They were talking. And he cried. Cried in the temple and saying, you both know me and you know whence I am. You know the man. You know Jesus of Nazareth. You know me and you know where I come from. : And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. And he said, I and my Father are one. Not a one of them sat around and said, him and Joseph are one. They knew what he's talking about. He said, you know the man that's standing in front of you? He's the God man. I'm not come of myself. He that sent me is true, whom ye know not. God sent me. You don't know God. We're going to let that rubber meet the road here in just a second. But I know him. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him. But no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. They weren't able to lay. Why weren't they able to lay hands on him? He's God. Why did they want to lay hands on him? He's God, and they will not have this man reign over them. We're not going to have God tell us we don't know God. We've made one up just fine. We know it inside and out. How many people know about some fella named Jesus, but they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? Everybody in this country, everybody in this in non-English speaking nations, around the world, they know some man named Jesus, but they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people are religious? There's churches all over this place. There's people put on suits and ties and women that wear dresses every Sunday, every Wednesday, and they go to church all the time, and they don't know God. Do you want to know him? They're zealous. They're hard workers, and they mean it. They mean it. That's what Paul told us in Romans 10. He said, they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Does that mean that up here? Not according to love. They have a zeal for God, not according to grace. What's grace? What's this love of God? We don't even know nothing about that. Give me something to do. Give me something to figure out. Let my big brain work this problem out. How many people quote scriptures? They're masters of Israel, and they don't know who the scripture concerns. Just like Job. The Lord gave, the Lord take away. But boy, they don't bring up, blessed be the name of the Lord. It's God in doing this. If I were to look a heathen dead in the eye, and I said, you don't know God, there may be a fight. What happened, verse 30? They sought to take him. You don't know God. But if I looked a born-again child of God, someone given a new spirit within him, that incorruptible seed, and I looked him dead in the eye and I said, you don't know God, they would say, apart from Christ, you're right. If it wasn't for him, being made one with Him, His free and loving, sovereign grace. On behalf of me, while I hated Him, you're right. Outside of Him, I'm lost and I don't know God. But I know Him. I want to be with Him. I want to be made like Him. Verse 20 again. It says, then Jesus cried in the temple as He taught, saying, both know me and you know who I am. And I am not come of myself, but He that sent me is true, whom ye know not, I know Him. But I know Him, for I am from Him, and He hath sent me. How could someone know so much about the Lord? They're standing right there with Him. How could they hear the Almighty God-man preach into their physical ears with understanding and discernment to be able to sort things out and make decisions and weigh things into balances? How could they do that and not know Him? How could they physically be so close or mentally be so close and not know the Lord? Is that possible? Is that possible to be so close? Turn over to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Here in Mark 12, these Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They just want to entangle the Lord in His words and go after Him, getting Him fighting over the resurrection. He corrected it. He addressed it. And in verse 28, after this conversation took place, Mark 12, 28, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving, he was judging. He was making a judgment call, not righteous judgment. He was reasoning. Perceiving that He had answered them well. Our Lord did a good job. It was a worthy adversary. So He asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thine soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. He asked, which is the first of all? I'm going to give you number two. The second is like it, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. You did a good job, master. Old man, seasoned veteran, you did a good job. You have said the truth. The truth sitting right in front of him. The truth spoke the truth to him. He said, you've said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all thine heart, with all thine understanding, and all thy soul, with all thy strength, and to love thy neighbor as himself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. He had a good understanding. And when Jesus saw that He answered discreetly. Now, does that mean quiet? I looked that word up. What does it mean He answered discreetly? It means in a mind-having way, prudently. He was educated. He had a good understanding. He had a good handle on these things. He could articulate what was just said to him. And when he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man, after that durst ask him any question. You were not far from the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? How close is He? It's the one talking to Him. You ain't far from it. Did he get mad or did he say amen? Master, rabbi, that's what they called him, wasn't it? The rich ruler called him good master. Good master. He said, why you call me good? Ain't nothing good but God. What's he getting at? He's hitting him right where he lives. He's God. This is the Lord. What you call? Who has the nerve to come up to him and say, hey, Jesus? It's prevalent and it makes my ears turn red. All around this nation, just a flippant attitude to the one that created you. You ought to have better sense than that. You wouldn't go into a courtroom and go up to the judge and say, hey lady, or hey dude, and watch how quick you get in 30 days lockup. We know better than that, don't we? I didn't go into my home and say, hey Paul. He'd have slapped me across the mouth. That was Dad. I started out calling him Daddy, and when time came, he said, you don't call me that no more. You're grown. Call me Dad. I said, okay, that's what I'll call you. Be glad to. I honor you. I respect you. I fear Him. His apostles, they called Him Lord, And he answered him, and he said, "You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am." You're on the right track. But just to know that that's his name ain't enough, is it? To know there's one God ain't enough, is it? To know that there's a sovereign God in heaven ruling all things, that ain't enough, is it? James told us, James 2:19, "You say there's one God, good for you." The devils do the same thing. It's not just one thing to call him Lord or say that he is Lord or understand that his position by right and by legalities. It's to worship him. The gospel is not the gospel because you say it is. You get a hold of that. Pay attention to me. I want you to really pay attention to me. I want you to understand this. The gospel is not the gospel. It's not the truth because you figured it out. It's not the truth because you agree with it. It's not the truth because you say so. It's the truth because he says so. Because he reveals it. Because he tells it. You people, listen to me. If the Lord's pleased to save you, there'll come a time when you'll be frightened unto death by this text, that you're not far from the kingdom of God. And you'll ask yourself, do I have a head knowledge about the Lord or do I know him? That day will come. What's the difference? What's the difference? I've heard that my whole life. A lot of people's 18 inches from salvation. That means they got it here, but they don't have it here. I had it here for a long time. I argued it from here for a long time. And then God was pleased to save me and show me what a fool I was. And I backed to him. That's the first sign. That's the first thing that'll be noticed. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Just a few pages there in Luke 5. Here's when the Lord called Peter. And those sons of thunder with him. Luke 5 verse 3. "And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Our Lord boarded Peter's boat. They pushed out to go fishing. He sat down and he preached. Would that offend you if I was sitting in a chair right now versus standing? I told him, somebody got on to me one time and said, "You got a beard. You ought not have a goatee." And I'm just mean-spirited. And I said, "Spurgeon had a beard." Oh, yeah, that's fine. My Lord had a beard. They plucked it out. Fool. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. "Now when he had left speaking," verse 4, "he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered unto him." Here's a commercial fisherman. This is his business. Some man. Even if he knew him. I know where he's from. I know his parents. Don't matter. Some man came up that ain't a commercial fisherman. He's a commercial fisherman. He said, "Here's what you need to do." Simon answered and said, "Master, he's respectful, we've toiled all night, and we've taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." He's kind to someone that appears to be his senior, isn't it? "And when they had done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship." It was a commercial operation. "That they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink." They got two ships full of fish now. "And when Simon Peter saw it," he was kind before. Didn't that sound good? Call Jesus Master. Oh, he's the Master. That's him. I'll do what you say. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds good and religious, don't it? Difference. "When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." O Lord. Something changed. How did Peter know that he was a sinner against God? He sinned against the holy God by two ships getting full of fish. I don't know, but the Lord hit him where he lived, and it was effectual, wasn't it? Something changed. He bowed down and said, "I'm a fool. I'm a sinner. Lord, I can't be in your presence. You're holy. O Lord." For he was astonished. Verse 9, "And all that were with him, and the draught of the fishes which they had. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." I'm going to put you to work, Simon. "And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him." What's the difference between having an understanding and knowing? Peter had an understanding of just common courtesy. whenever this took place. And then he knew the Lord, and he loved the Lord, and he followed the Lord, and he forsook all to follow him. You see the difference? He wasn't debating with him. He wasn't analyzing him. He bowed at his knees, clung to him, and said, I'm yours, I ain't leaving. He'll lead down the road, and oh, how tender the Lord is. Peter said, I quit, I'm going fishing. I understand what he went through. And the Lord called to him and said, hey, cast your nets over to the right side of the boat. And he pulled the nets up. He said, I've lived through this once before. That's the Lord. That ain't a master. That ain't some man. That's the Lord talking to me. Big difference. This man who spoke to these people in the temple, that wasn't a good insurance policy. It was not some other man to cast judgment on and sort out and figure out and analyze. This was the Lord. When you see that, you forsake all. You forsake your mother and father. You forsake your family. There's sweet little people. They just got to be an angel flying in heaven. You put them idols away. And you forsake for him. What makes that take place? God must do something. God must reveal himself to a poor, wretched sinner for that to take place. And if that ain't happened yet, I pray he makes it happen. Boy, what a blessing that would be. If nobody heard a word I say tonight, you sleep clean through it, and one sinner saved, boy, ain't that worth it. Ain't that worth the clothes off my back and everything I have? If it's worth his blood, it's worth whatever it got to me, I can tell you that. Old Brother Barnard said, Jesus never saved anybody. Boy, you talk about an attention getter. We'll just stop there, make a dramatic, a tactical pause, as we used to say. Jesus never saved anybody, but the Lord Jesus Christ, saved every one of his people, every one that was given to him. There's a difference. There's a difference. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Well, we sang that earlier. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Is that wrong? Shall I put the baby out with the bathwater? No, that's his name. He had a humanity. The Almighty God came to man because I'm a man. He was made a human because you're a human. That's who he is. We don't forget, we don't get tangled in that and forget who he is, do we? This is precious. Matthew 1, verse 21. And she shall bring the Son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what this man's going to do. Now all done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This man in the temple preaching to these folks. This man calling to a fisherman. Told him how to fish. This is a man. This is flesh and blood. Yes, it is. This is one that's a child that is born. This is also the son that's given. He's both. That's what Isaiah said. For unto us a child is born. Right, there's a man child. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, because they're one, the Prince of Peace. This same Jesus that you've crucified is Emmanuel. When the Lord reveals himself, he reveals that he is the Lord. The one that rules all, reigns over all, in all. Hands down, period, A-double-L. I don't know. Everything, all the molecules, everything. What about the bad ones? Them too. He's the Lord over everything. He's the Lord to lay down his life for his people. Isaiah said, whenever he saw the Lord, his train filled the temple, and he saw them angels crying, holy, and they covered their eyes and they covered their feet. Holy, holy, holy. And he saw him. He said, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Everything around me is unclean. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What did Peter do? I'm unclean. I'm a sinner. For me, you're the Lord. You're the Lord. Thomas said, he doubted. He said, I ain't going to believe. I need a sign. being a child, the Lord's child, how tender and patient he is. He could come here, Thomas, put your hand right there. Feel. Thomas felt. And he said, answered unto him, my Lord and my God. Is that God? Yes, it is. And you're my Lord. You're my Lord. Martha did that. After not getting, didn't have a good understanding of the resurrection. The Lord said, this ain't a sickness unto death. He'll rise. About Lazarus. And she said, oh, no, I understand. The final day, you know. Well, that's pretty good understanding. That will happen. That'll come to pass. And our Lord said, Martha, or she said, I know he'll rise in the resurrection of the last day. And our Lord said unto her, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. That believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believe thou this? Do you believe that, Martha? And she said unto him, yea, Lord. She didn't say, yea, Jesus, did she? She said, yea, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. You're him. You're God Almighty. That's what was revealed to her. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2. I found this precious too. Philippians chapter 2. As we're going through the names of the Lord, I'm so thankful because he's given us these, the spokes and a wheel. It's how do you eat an elephant? You eat it one bite at a time, don't you? He gave us something we can digest in bits and pieces because we're children. We need to take small bites, don't we? Jehovah Jireh, he's going to provide. What if I need understanding? He's going to provide. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord our banner, Jehovah Nisi. Jehovah Shalom, Lord our peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Sitkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is present. He's with us. Name's a declaration. I will not discuss, I will not enter into a foolish argument of man of debating, oh, well, now I think this, and no. No, he's the Lord. That's his name. It's to be declared. Peter got up and preached to those one that just slew him, and he said, you killed him. It's who he is. And then he sat down. It was a declaration. Not to be analyzed, it's to be amazed at. Not to be dissected, it's to be declared and bowed to who he is. He has a name above every name. Look here in Philippians 2, verse 9. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What's that name? That at the name of Jesus, hold on, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Those people were debating and analyzing him and seeing if this was who it was, really the Christ, and this and that. They wasn't bowing to the Lord. They didn't forsake all for him. They didn't cry out for mercy. He was still an equal. That was just a man. That was just Jesus to them. When he's pleased not to reveal himself, he's only Jesus. He's only a man, not the God-man. That's what we looked at recently there in Jeremiah 9:24. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You understand who that is? And know. And love and fear and honor and respect and I'm grateful. Ain't you just happy? That's a good word. I praise him, I honor him, I want things to be orderly, but I'm just content and pleased and just grateful that he's God and he's the Lord. I wouldn't have it any other way. Would that please you? I wake up in the morning, my God's on the throne. Amen. Good. What if it rains? I pray I can see that in all the things that are absolutely treacherous in this world and horrible in this world. And instead of cowering in fear, like somebody that God and at the boogeyman, I can say amen, God's on his throne. He's the Lord. And let me tell some, I wish I could tell somebody about it. Find somebody that ain't never heard about this and tell them. Somebody that's not just drowning to death in gospel theology, and let them see the Lord, see who he is. Let them cling to him. Say, you what? I'm a sinner. God showed me that. And fall down on his knees. That'd be wonderful. Him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. He exercises judgment, and he exercises righteousness in this earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? Oh, I wish I could just bow to that all the time. I think, nope. Well, I wish it could just be this way. Oh, I wish I could stop doing that. And start judging righteous judgment. Exactly what happened is it. How can I glory in knowing the Lord? Man seen the Father, we know the Son, don't we? We know Him. Back in our text here in John 7. Verse 28 says, and then Jesus cried in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. You know the man. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. You don't know God. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet. When he says that no man knows God, no man's going to get to the Father but by me. That's what he's saying. You don't know God, but I know him. We should know the Son. Is that right? We should kiss the Son lest he be angry. Does that make you mad? Well, now how I grew up was something different. Now, Mommy and Daddy taught me different, and my great-grandma, she was the sweetest that ever lived, and she thought this. And does that make you mad? Or do you say, I must know the Son? He's salvation. Salvation is being united with Christ. Being united with His worth only. Being united with His wisdom only. His understanding, His judgment, His weighing in the scales. We read in 1 John, we'll close with this. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. That God Almighty came in human flesh, and He's given His people an understanding that we may know Him. That is true. He came that we may know God, that we may understand Him and love Him and know Him, and that we are in Him. That is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. To know Him is to have everlasting life. He's the God-man. That one standing there healing an impotent man by the pool of Bethesda. That's Him. He came that we may know Him. That is true. That one that was preaching in that temple. That's Him. He came, the Lord, that we may know Him. That one that controls all things. Good, bad, or ugly, it don't make a difference. That we may know Him, that He may save His people. A friend of mine asked one time, I said, if I had to get up and preach right, somebody handed you a Bible and said, go preach. What would you preach on? I'm giving that instruction. Be ready in season and out of season. Probably Philippians 3:3. First thing that come to mind. For we are the circumcision. We're the Lord's people. True Israelites. We worship God in the Spirit. I can't do that. He has to give the Spirit. It has to be His doing. And rejoice in Christ Jesus. How do I know the Father? How do I have that? Because of the person and work of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I rejoice in Him and have no confidence in the flesh. What's my understanding and my soothsaying and my discernment and my perceiving? A pile of beans. Give me Him. It don't matter. I need Him. All right. Father, thank You for this word. Lord, forgive us for what we are. Your hope. Perfect. Allow us to give us a heart that worships and that give us an understanding that what we are, filthy, wicked sinners, Lord, need for Your Son. Allow us to come to His feet, fall down on His knees, and worship Him. Lord, allow us to see Christ today. Forgive us for what we are. Your kingdom come. It's in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen.